Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, let's
restart. Here we go.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, baby.
Okay.
Hey, hello, baby. How you doing?
I am doing okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, which is true.
Isn't it nice to see my face again?
It is nice to see your face again. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing your face in front of my face. I'm seeing your face on a screen in front of my face.
Yeah.
I guess we should tell the listeners, people can't see this, but you're now stateside. Mm-hmm. You are out of Mexico, and we are recording this little foreplay segment over FaceTime.
It's really nice to see your face in time. Not in real space,
yes,
but real time.
Yes, real time in space. I had a really rough few weeks, babe. I feel like I saw you in LA. Everything was amazing. I flew home, and then our you went to Mexico, and as soon as you crossed the border and you weren't able to be gotten a hold of, my world crumbled around me, and it might have been the worst 2 weeks of my recent life.
Baby.
It was really rough.
Yeah. Things did sort of fall apart. It's funny. I had feelings while I was in Mexico that when I emerged from my period of time without the internet, that there was going to be sort of a flood of information. I had so much time in silence and to, you know, to work on some things that I was going through and to get really raw and open. And then I knew coming into this town in Mexico where I was going to get Wi-Fi that there was going to be this like flood of information. So I was like, okay, I'm here. First, I'm going to go take a shower. I'm going to prepare myself, you know, one piece at a time to receive all of this knowledge. And then I come out of the shower and I see Todd's little face looking at me like, have you checked your phone? And I was like, no, I haven't. Please just give me one moment. And then I just held my hands over my face while he gave me all the news.
Because Todd was the first one to reach out to me. between you two, and he just sent me a text and said, "Hey, buddy, how are you?" And I spewed out just a pile of horrible news. I mean, we don't really have to get into any of it. It's mostly personal stuff. But we found out your dad's really sick. Mm-hmm. Which you did not know prior to leaving the U.S. I found out that Bigby has brain tumors and needs to be medicated for that. And then and at that time, a couple of weeks ago, I was going through a really rough time. I was pretty sure Becca and I's relationship had come to an end. And so I just fucking threw all that up onto Todd. And I will say this, babe, you know, it's really sweet that this week's episode is a continuation of our conversation with Courtney and Sophia, because we touch on, you know, how loving and supportive we are with one another, and how our other partners play a big role in our life as well. And to have that moment to like say all of that to Todd, felt so nice to like know that he was there to relay that to you, and like that you had him there with you while getting all of that news. Like, I've never loved Todd more than I have in my fucking life than I have since LA and leaving LA, leaving you two in LA and now. And I'm just as excited for Todd to come home and see him as I am you.
Oh, you know? Man, that means so much. 'Cause yeah, it was funny. There was a moment of seeing his little face, and I keep saying little face. He has a normal size face, but seeing his face and knowing that there was news to deliver, and
his weird, weird little face.
No, yes. He's got a super handsome face and it's normal size. And just knowing, like, I already knew, and somehow I already knew. And I was like, all right, this is good, because Todd he'll just say it. He'll just, like, there'll be no beating around the bush. He'll just be like, he'll just be straight up. And that's probably a nicer way to get that news than to a flood of text messages and Facebook messages and emails.
For sure.
Even though I knew they were coming, I was like, okay, let a human being tell you. Because at first I was like, not going to let him tell me. I didn't say that out loud, but in my heart I was like, nope, you don't need to. I'll just find it out on my own. But it was a really nice thing. And I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, like, whenever you and Becca are going through a hard time, I always end up in communication with Becca in some way. And I agree. It's a really nice... like sounding board and compassionate, two sides of every story, kind of companionship. So I really appreciate, and yesterday was Becca's birthday, and I was feeling super grateful for her, and I loved your birthday message to her. And yeah. So all that to say,
yeah,
thanks for loving Todd and being so supportive of his ability to break the hard news.
Yeah. So anyway, that all happened. It's good to see you again. And I know that Mexico is a great sort of way to get away from the world and enjoy yourself and be self-reflective. I also have had a bit of a self-reflective kind of thing going on up here in the cold Canadian winter. I started microdosing again, which has been amazing. I guess I feel like we've even though it's only been a couple of months, we've both grown a lot, and it's going to be really fun to be in the same house again.
Yeah, I agree. Growth is sometimes extremely uncomfortable, though. Hey.
Yeah, it most certainly fucking is. Hey, how was like intimacy in Mexico, where you didn't have a shitter and you were living in a small van with a dog?
It, It was surprisingly good. It was surprisingly good. We are getting the, what's harder is we're back in the snow. So we're in Colorado today. We are.
Holy fuck. You're in Colorado right now?
Yeah.
Whoa. I thought you were like in California. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. We booked it.
Babe, you're so close.
Yeah. We booked it. So my dad is sick and I call the doctors like once a week and be like, what's the deal? And it's a super complicated thing talking to doctors when they're not like a family practitioner or they're not like a dedicated doctor to someone's case. And it's like the second doctor I spoke to was like, yeah, you know, your dad's got like, you know, a couple months. And I was like, well, okay. That's like for sure the most, like cold delivery of that information. Also not what I heard from his other doctor. So I'm just going to like take a minute to parse this out. So why did I get onto that train? We're booking at home. We're booking at home because I don't know what's happening.
Right.
And we're in Colorado right. And it's cold. And that means sleeping with clothes on, which means a lot less right. like skin-to-skin contact. And it's just like less appealing and we're camping. We're, you know, we don't have showers or a bathroom in our rig.
You know, you should have done is you should have bought one of those onesies that have like the butt flaps in the back, and then Todd should have just like unzipped his pants so he can slip his dick out the front, and then you just have your butt out the back, and then you guys spoon, and that it's like everything else is covered and clothed and warm, but then you got a little bit of like P&B. Warmth, you know what I mean?
Do you say P&B, like peanut butter?
No, like penis and butthole.
Oh, I see. Sort of like, yeah, I feel like peanut butter is a joke in there somewhere. But
I mean, I'm sure you could make peanut butter with that combination.
We
somehow,
have been eating a lot of peanut butter, and I don't know, we've been eating a lot of peanut butter. I don't know how that good that is for your libido, but no, the cold... I don't know. It's not even like, let's get warm. Let's make it warm in here. It's like, hey, how many, can I sleep with my Patagonia jacket on? And my slippers?
Right.
Is that
right,
hot?
Right.
Is that a sexy thing?
Yeah.
No, but it'll be fine. I mean, there's so many variables. There's living in a closed space together with no privacy, with pee jars and, you know, like, a lot of body odor, not a lot of laundering of blankets happening, or anything like that. So, you right. know, it's filthy. It's filthy. It's,
yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Cool. I think, you know, great. You'll be here. You'll be back home soon and there'll be lots. And we'll all be living together. So that'll be really interesting. That'll be great for my sex life. I guess we can maybe talk about that at some point. Because when you guys get back here, Todd is moving in with us because he doesn't have an apartment.
Maybe we'll just car camp in the driveway.
Maybe.
Or you can have the camper for your hot dates.
That would be wonderful. I'm sure the women that I go on dates with would love to get in my unmarked van. it's all good. My dating life has been in the dumps anyway, so I'm sure I won't have much.
You're down in the dumps.
Much room or need. I'm just everything blows right now, babe. I'm living my worst life right now. Although, let me rephrase that. I am, aside from that, I'm going to a jiu-jitsu class tonight, which I'm really excited for. And, I've been practicing more yoga and I've been, getting massages and going to the float center. So, you know, all is lost.
Yeah. You're taking care of yourself.
I'm taking care of myself. I'm just not.
You're ready for that. You're ready for that next hot date.
Yeah, that next hot date that comes around the corner will be nice, let me tell you. I did go on, you know what, I will say this, I did go on a hot date, I mean, not too long ago. It was like, it feels like forever ago now because so much has happened between now and then, but I don't know, like maybe a month ago, and it was amazing. And then that person was like, well, I'm moving to PEI, and then left like 2 days later. So I was like, oh, fuck.
Well, so, I mean, you're not that far. Anyway. You could be in several long distance relationship. Actually, what I do want to speak to.
I don't want it anymore.
I want to speak to dressing.
Oh, hold on a sec there, Brad.
Okay.
Hold on a second there. Just 1 second. You fucking whore.
God damn it. Why do you do this to me? Just work.
You okay? All
right. Yeah, we're
good.
Okay. So, back to it.
So one thing I will speak to about the van life and sexy times is I really strategically tried to pack only what I would need because there's very limited storage space. And so I have one drawer, which is probably about a foot deep and like maybe a foot and a half long. I don't know what that means. But anyway, so I've got this space and then I have a tote, like a Rubbermaid tote with stuff. And I regularly have been like switching. I have like the outfits that are like specifically for the cold or specifically for the hot or whatever, because I'm crossing a lot of different climates here. But one thing I really wanted to make sure of is that I felt like hot for myself on the road.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I brought all these things that I was like, maybe this is impractical on like the road tripper minimalist wardrobe van life lifestyle. But I was like, I really need to like, you know, I like lingerie and I like, you know, I like stuff that makes me feel like I like to play dress up, even just on my own. Sure. As a way of expressing yeah. myself. And so I brought these different items, a couple different bodysuits, one from Fortnite Label in Toronto that I bought when I was there. It's like a bodysuit. It's like a thong bodysuit. It's velvet in the front and like sheer in the back and like a leopard print cool. one and like some lace stuff. And I really made a point of, especially when we were camping, like we had visitors in our second week in Mexico, like hanging out with us, and in our first week, but we were in a different camp spot that was like elevated, so I could be like in various stages of undress in the camper, doing yoga on my little like front pad. And that was like, that was really important because I generally tend towards being like more practical and being like, well,
right.
can I wear this thing with everything else that I'm bringing? And if I had thought that way, I wouldn't have ended up with like some of the time not having a shower and not having a toilet and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I might.
Would you have felt less sexy?
I can dress this up. Yeah, I think so. Like,
would you have felt less sexy if you didn't do that? You think? Yeah.
I think so because, you know, Patagonia jackets are practical, but
right, but they're not the sexiest thing.
Blundstone boots.
They could be.
Blundstone boots, practical, but not, yeah. You know, and even like my yoga clothes, it's like, yeah, I could get out there and do my yoga clothes, do my yoga routine and my like ordinary like yoga pants and yoga top, which I generally tend to be fairly, you know, modest with because I'm a teacher and I, you know, I don't want to be distracting yeah. people with my boobs or my butt. And, yeah. But like I can get out there and I can, it's hot enough for me to do yoga in a pretty much sheer like bodysuit right now. And nobody's going to say two words about it because we're yeah. in the most yeah. remote place in Mexico and nobody's even like looking at me. So I think there is an element of like, I also brought my vibrator and some lube and a candle and like different things that I was like, here, these are key. Oh, and also my best friend, one of my oldest best friends of all time, who I was with for a week right after Christmas before we came down to the States. She gave me this like body scrub that she had homemade, and it was like sugar and olive oil and, you know, all different like essences percent and whatever. And I was like, I'm saving this for Mexico. And there were 2 days on the beach in Mexico where I was like, Todd, I need you to exfoliate me. And so we were like, went down to the beach to go for a swim. And I'm in my bathing suit still, but like, I'm getting a rub down with the scrub and, you know, inside and outside of the bathing suit, all very important for like feeling sensual and sexual on the road. So I feel like there, those are a few key things you can do to like stay connected with that part of yourself, even though, you know, your butt, it probably needs a shower. If that makes any sense.
That all sounds great. And also sounds pretty like ideal for somebody who might be planning a trip, and trying to figure out that part of their life, you know?
Pack that lingerie that doesn't seem to make sense at first.
That's right. Yeah. Well, babe, I know that last week we ended our episode with Courtney and Sophia at the halfway mark. It was a part one, but on purpose, I actually ended that episode with a little bit of a cliffhanger by stopping the episode right when Sophia asked us, do y'all still fuck? And I did that on purpose to be a little bit cheeky because I know that there are probably a few people wondering that question. And so, I don't know, do you want, like, should we just throw it to the episode, or do you want to discuss any of that, or what are you thinking?
I mean, let's let people listen to it in real time, because no one had ever asked us that on the air, and I used on the air in quotes because it was not live. We've been asked it before and chose not to address it because we always had this thing with this podcast that we were like, let's preserve a little bit of privacy for just you and I. So all this to say is I think we should just throw it to the episode. And then if people have questions, we can talk about it after that.
Well, I hope people do have questions, and I encourage people to write them into us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. And I don't know, anything else you want to add there, babe?
Yes. What I would like to add is when you're hearing this right now, listeners, but when you're hearing next week's episode, like while you're writing in with your questions for Jeremy and I, you should also know that next Wednesday is my birthday and I'll be 36, which is the north side of 35, which is basically getting close to 40. And I would just like to say that I feel...
Drying up. Drying the fuck up. Getting dusty.
That's not what I was going to say. But...
Oh, sorry.
I've never felt younger. That's what I was going to say. Never felt younger. You know what?
Oh, right. Right, 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 right.
but honestly, still having the same arguments with lovers I was having at 20 years old. So you all have that to look forward to. Deal with your shit now while you're still young, because it ain't any more fun when you're 35 having the same argument about your own, walls around your heart. So go get that shit sorted out.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. All right, I guess we'll dive into that next week. All right, well, we hope you enjoy this week's episode. It's good to be back with all of y'all. And Bridie and I will probably be in the same room. Maybe not next week, but perhaps the week after. So, baby, drive safe. Tell Todd to drive safe. I love you, and can't wait to see you again. And to all the listeners, I love you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of our conversation with Private Parts Unknown.
Love you guys. See you soon.
what I've told him. But he just got married to another lovely gentleman, so I think that's off the table.
Well, you don't know what they're married.
Oh,
is
no,
like.
I think lot of gay men.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, maybe marriage, you're going to have an MMM.
Nope, they're very monogamous. They're too cute. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Wait, can I ask a personal rude question?
Yeah.
Do y'all still fuck?
No. We don't. And we've never talked about it on the show before.
Okay, this is what that's so funny
I'm
that you
so
asked
glad that.
That
you answered me honestly. This is so vulnerable and I'm here for it.
Well, we've talked about it on the show, but we were like, we'll just wait until
I don't
want to
make
moment.
A thing about it.
And there's the moment right there.
Oh. Now it's cash.
It's super cash because you guys work together too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't feel like work though. It like, I don't know.
No, I mean, it's...
Listeners, this is a very serious job. I don't want to get it twisted.
Yeah. We have worked together outside of this, like real work. And that took a toll. Like we couldn't do it. It was too much. But this is much different. This is there's a difference between working together and creating together, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely think that I think very much reinforced by this experience, relationships, like partnerships as having a purpose that is creation, because I'm not having babies but I still have the impulse to create and to bring things forth and nurture them in the world. And I think of this is our baby. Our baby.
Yeah.
And,
that's awesome.
And ultimately, like, you know, we met in acting school. We've been kind of trying to figure out what we were going to make together for a long time. And it was like, maybe we'll write a play or make a movie or whatever. And then,
and there has been a lot of things that we tried, you know, or like that we, you know, there were the little seedlings of these things that we were going to create together. And then they always seemed to like peter out, or they didn't really catch, but this was the one that just felt so fucking right. And honest to fucking God, even if it didn't have legs, which it most certainly does, but even if it didn't, I think we would still probably do it.
Yeah.
You know? That's how you know it's like a passion project.
Yeah.
So but what does this mean about your relationship?
Yeah. So I've thought about this a lot, and there's, you know, I'm a very sexual person. And if you had asked me 10 years ago, if I could ever be in a relationship with someone that was like a non-sexual relationship, that sounds like I'm saying that I couldn't have any relationship with anybody unless there was sex involved. I have lots of relationships with people that
we're excited to be here. We're excited to be here. Like the romantic,
talk about the incest thing, you know.
Like a romantic relationship.
Yeah exactly. But like a partner. 10 years ago I would have been like, no, there's no possible way. And I most certainly don't feel that way now. Like I could not, this relationship, is very much to me is a marriage, very much is to me a romantic, loving relationship, an intimate, very intimate relationship that doesn't need sex. And it's a relationship that like, I could not wrap my fucking head around not having. And it's not a platonic relationship. At least it doesn't feel that way for me. Mm-mm. It is very much like an intimate, loving relationship. But I mean, it's kind of a sexual relationship because our job is to talk about sex all the time. And,
yeah, it's interesting.
And
I would
share
say
our sex lives together. And but it's just again, we pioneered our own relationship. It never has been, it never once from the very beginning was a typical relationship. It's always been very different. And, I fucking love every ounce of what it is and what it has become and what it will continue to be.
I've thought about it a lot too. And I think that like, you know, we've faced a lot of people questioning, like, why are you guys, well, why stay married? Like, why be together if, you know, you're just going to go off and like live a huge part of your life with somebody else? And, like, well, we don't want to get divorced. That's really
pretty simple.
That's pretty, that's the only reason. And it is hard to say that and feel, cause there's not, I don't have any models of that again to like back that up with, but I've, you know, I've read about it. I know it exists. and it's just like, to me, the most maybe like grounded practice I have of like, well, what do you want? What do I want? And, you know, I want to be.
And if we weren't having sexual relationships with other people, yet we weren't having sex, I don't think we would last, because we would be so, like, I feel like our needs, which would not be met, would cause such a, like, such a rift between us. So the fact that we can be sexual beings with other people is, you know, it's like a huge part of our relationship as well. But also, like, I feel like there maybe there's someone out there listening going, well, fucking of course you're polyamorous, you fuck other people but you don't fuck each other. Oh, okay, well, Becca and I have sex with each other and we have sex with many other people as well, and I am just as madly in love with Becca as I am with Bridie. And that's just a different, that's just another relationship with a very different dynamic, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the reading we do is like, you know, people have these expectations of everyone of the relationship, and it's like, fulfill all these different parts of me. And then that doesn't happen. And people get resentful, and the monogamy, like, structure is so solid and feels so sacred and unbreakable to some people, but it's like, it's really not that hard to think just even a little bit outside the box about it, you know, just like, what do you want? Who do you want to spend your time with?
I think it was interesting on one of your episodes, I heard you guys kind of mention this, and I wanted to get into it a little bit more, but how the things that you're scared of at the beginning, or people on the outside that aren't poly would think would be a huge issue, are actually totally different than the real challenges you face, or the real insecurities that you feel once you're actually doing it. What would you say are either the common misconceptions that people are scared of going in, or what you were scared of? And then what's the real stuff that was like, oh, this is something I didn't think would come up, but it actually does?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody thinks that the jealousy is going to be too hard and it's going to destroy the relationship.
I'm raising my hand.
Right?
You guys, like, that's what I think.
You have to be absolutely ready to do a lot of work on yourself all the time. Because we just spoke with someone earlier today who is a couples therapist and singles therapist. And she talks a lot about jealousy. But she's also a mindfulness and meditation teacher. And that's her way through those like waves of, we talked about the insanity like of jealousy and how like people kill over it. And we both are yoga teachers and we have a mindfulness background, and so much of acting is also mindfulness based. And I think we got lucky that even though jealousy is still ever present, like we have some tools to breathe through it. And
the jealousy always also, I mean, and I am speaking very personally about this, but I feel like I can't be alone in that, in that the jealousy, it changes. It's not the same. It's not like when we're at a place now in our relationship where like the jealousy is that I would have been thinking about before I became poly, or before I could like wrap my head around it. The jealousy I feel now is much different than it was.
How?
It's less about I find myself getting jealous about things that I, less jealous about the things that I would have been jealous about, and more jealous about the things that I maybe wouldn't even have like thought of, if that makes sense. It's like,
can I toss out an example I heard on your podcast that I think, so I listened to the one where you were mentioning, Bridie, to him that your Christmas plans were maybe going to involve your sister, and but Todd was going to be there, and is it okay if Todd hangs out with my family, because I know you love my family. And
that's a perfect example,
right?
And it's like, that when that came up, the immediate reaction was like, oh, I feel jealous I'm not going to be a part of that. I feel jealous I'm not there. I feel jealous, like I felt this pang, you know, that familiar feeling of like of jealousy. Didn't feel jealous that like I'm not going on a 5-month fucking road trip, you know, living out of a van and being like super close to you.
And that is not about sex at all.
Yeah. But feeling very jealous that like I'm not going to be sitting next to the Christmas tree with my nieces on Christmas Day, but you get to like, and Todd gets to. That's what I used to do. But then again, it's like the, not only does it feel different in the way that things come up, you also kind of, the way you deal with the jealousy shifts very, very dramatically as well. It's like that moment of jealousy for that one thing about Christmas that lasted like all of, it was in that episode. You heard it begin, you heard the middle of it, and then you heard me resolving it and going, oh, I feel good now, you know, and that's in the span of like 4 minutes, like this very brief window where it comes and goes and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah. For a second, you were mad she brought it up, or you were just like, what? We don't have to talk about this on the podcast. But she was like, I'm demonstrating to our listeners what we do. And it was a perfect demonstration.
It was. So, yeah, I don't know. That's one thing that's definitely surprised me about it. The other thing that surprised me is, and you, Bride, you were one of the first to bring it up in within our relationship and our dynamic of what polyamory was to us, but the feeling of compersion. So like, actually,
so define compersion for our listeners.
Yeah, compersion is like the feeling of so an example of compersion was on Christmas morning when I get a text from Bridie or like a video from Bridie at my sister-in-law's house with my nieces, and I see how happy everyone is and I see that Todd is there. I feel so elated that Todd is experiencing something so nice. Like, I feel good knowing that my partner's partner feels good.
Yeah. And you typically, people talk about it in the context of like, it turns me on to think about my partner with another person, right?
Yeah, I guess that's I've never took it that way though. I've always seen it like, sure, right. Maybe I've just been reading it wrong, but like,
or you're just so much more romantic than the average person.
Yeah. But like, seeing pleasure and, but I don't, I've always read it as like seeing your partner receive pleasure from your partner, but I've never looked at it from a sexual standpoint.
Interesting.
I've always looked at it as like, yeah, seeing my partner and their existence provide pleasure and happiness to somebody else. You said it to me one time, and it was the moment that it really clicked, which was, you know, this whole thing of us opening our relationships. Like, you've done so much. So this is me speaking as Bridie, because this might sound a little confusing. You've done so much for me in my life and have provided me with such joy that it would be crazy for me not to allow you to offer that to somebody else, because that in and of itself makes the world a better place. So I want you to give what you've given me to others, because I know how fucking good it is.
Bridie, that's so beautiful.
And that was one of the most beautiful things you've ever said to me. And it was like one of the moments where I went, yeah, that's cool. I like that.
I heard that from Jake, our friend Jake, who is polyamorous.
He was the one person the guy in Montreal. Yeah.
He said that once, and I was like, that doesn't resonate with me. But then after a while it did, and it was because of the first episode of Sick Boy. So the first episode of your other podcast, was before we, just the same summer we opened our relationship, I heard you, the preview, I heard the episode before it was ever released.
Yeah.
And you made a joke about how you were dying and how...
That's not a fucking joke, Brody.
When you... What? You were, when you proposed, you were like, the max you got to commit is like 10 years. Yeah. And I heard that and I laughed and it was funny. And then I was like, wait a minute. Is that a part of my, is that a part of like why I want to be, why I'm, why I will be this person's partner is because I know that it has an expiry date. You know, like other relationships I'd be in and I'd be like looking at this person, I'd be like, I'm gonna die next to this person. But then in this situation, it's like, I will likely outlive this person. So even if it's a terrible, if it, even if it goes terribly, I'll have another chance on the other side.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I, but it's, these are the questions I was asking myself after I heard that episode. Cause I was like, maybe, am I just like, could any part of me just be like waiting it out for other experiences, or not waiting it out, but just living in such a way that I'm like, well,
being content, knowing that there's
kind
more.
Of having insurance or something.
Yeah. Mm. Kind
where
of
you normally don't have that with mm-hmm. marriage. You're like hoping it goes forever.
Yeah.
The part of you is like, oh my God, what if it goes forever?
And
whereas
then
here you're like, fundamentally, that's not an issue.
Mm.
And on the tails of that, this person's gonna die only having had me as a,
yeah,
as the man that he is right now,
mm-hmm.
and or that he will, and who he will become. And am I keeping him from having experiences that I'm not, like, you know, we were already splitting off in terms of like what we enjoy doing with our hobbies and mm-hmm. like how we like spending our time. And it was like, I don't want to hold this person back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, it's kind of beautiful that, you know, on the other side of that coin, it's like he gets to know, like, whatever fear that you're like, is she going to be okay, you know, when I'm gone? Like, I love her so yeah. much. Is she going to, what's her life going to be like or whatever? You get to see now. You get to be like, oh, I love the person that she's with, and yeah. I get to see her be happy, and I just know that whatever happens is going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just beautiful all the way around. Good job, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That is nice. I've never thought about that or thought about it that way, but that is a very, like, that's a very beautiful thought of being like, oh, I'm leaving, but you're good.
You see the person taking care of
yeah.
in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that, like, my grandpa started doing, before he got like too old, as he started giving me his shit, and he was like, I don't want you to get it after I die mm-hmm. and have it be a really sad memory. He's like, I want to give it to you now while I'm alive, and then you have a really happy memory attached to it, and then, you know, it doesn't have to be, it's the same thing mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Quick question. How do y'all's families feel about you guys having other partners and bringing them around? Are they cool? Do they not care?
They're cool.
Yeah.
It took my family a little while to come around to it. I didn't really tell them until I held off as long as I could. But after Todd and I had been seeing each other for a year, I was like, I'd kind of like you to meet some of my family. My mom and dad my mom and dad...
A couple of fucking hippies
babies all over the place. Yeah. They're totally fine with it. My stepmom was a different story, but she's open to it now. And
yeah, my family were kind of like, what? Okay, I guess. And then I don't think it like clicked for my family, especially my mom, until I got really sick once, and this was like maybe a few months before Christmas. And when I was in the hospital, actually Bridie was away and was going to come home, I think like a week into me being in the hospital and being very, very sick. So total of 2 weeks. And the first week, Becca was there every fucking day. My mom was also going to be there every day. Mm-hmm. So she's seeing Becca taking care of me. And then Bridie comes home And now it's Bridie and Becca and my mom, like all sort of through text, like taking shifts to take care of me in the hospital. And I think that experience was pretty pivotal for my mother to see and go, oh, I see what this is. Mm-hmm. And I remember specifically after that, like very soon after I got out of the hospital, my mom was like, just so like, you know, Becca's coming for Christmas, right? Like, you know, Becca can come over for Thanksgiving dinner with the whole family. Like it was like, she wanted wanted to make sure that Becca felt included in the family.
That's adorable.
Yeah. It was very sweet. And, it, from that moment forward, it was like, there was not a hint of, well, what will the neighbors think kind of thing, which that was kind of the deal before. It was like, oh Jesus, what do I tell Ethel? You know, like, what do I fucking tell my friends? Yeah. After that moment, it was like, no, this is Becca, like Jeremy's girlfriend, you know, and they were
a lot of joking. They made a lot of jokes. Like, yeah.
Well, you gotta get it out of your system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, my family's really, really awesome with it. And they love, I think they think it's great. Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I gotta say though, it's like pretty incredible that but also I think something important to remember when things that are like quote unquote unorthodox happen, like relationships or sexuality stuff or whatever, that, you know, people always make such a big deal about like how will we explain this, how will people get it. And I think it's because until someone sees it in practice, they can't picture it, which is what your experience was like getting into polyamory. So I think for parents to be like, Jesus, how could you possibly have a girlfriend and be married? But then they just see both people being nice to their son or daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they're just like, oh, that's how.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's no longer a question. It's because if you don't have a reference point for it, you are just like, letting your mind run wild or whatever. But ultimately, yeah, all you need to see are the two people actually interacting with your child.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're not as worried and you're like, oh, okay.
It's like when, you know, people who have gay children.
Of course.
At first, yeah, they're like, I'm sorry, what? You just broke my brain. And then they're like, oh, I love this person.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, I don't understand. Who's the man? Or whatever. And yeah, then, you know, totally, a month later, they're like, oh,
I love Gary. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, I understand now.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to go to Halifax.
Oh, dude.
For one of our trips.
It's absolutely.
Yeah. If you make that happen, we should do a live show with these guys.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Because I have so many. I want to really. I started then researching where you guys live and I was like, this is fascinating.
Halifax is really fucking cool because it's like, it is a small city, but it doesn't feel like, like, you know, like claustrophobically small.
Mm-hmm. How many people?
350,000.
So like a proper city.
It's a proper city. But it's the proper city that like, it's in a small, it doesn't take up much space. And, you know, going for a short walk, you're like, you're saying hello to like three people on that walk kind of thing, you know, but it also feels like a city. It doesn't feel, I don't know. I love it. But like, it's also got a really killer scene. You know, uh-huh. There's a lot of young people who are like very driven, a lot of like creatives, everybody's supporting everybody. Like it's rad. It's honestly my favorite city, period. Like it's
wow.
Honestly,
you ride hard.
Strong
for
endorsement. I also do. We could do a little Canada loop because mm-hmm. I sold T-shirts on the Girls Gone Wild tour when I was 21.
What?
And we went from
incredible story
Vancouver Island to we wound up flying out of Toronto because we essentially got kicked out of the country. But we were supposed to go coast to coast, and Sophia, you and I could complete the tour.
How the fuck did you get that job? What was like what
desperation?
No,
I just moved
a lot of sadness.
I moved to LA when I was 21 and just was not really ready for.
Were you like on the GGW bus?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Dude, I've seen that bus. You might have been on that bus.
They loved Canada because you guys. They were like, these will fool them. Every small town will just get in there. We'll get these girls to show their titties. It's on.
Oh my god, dude, that's so funny. Did you know one of my first jobs ever was working in a porn store?
Oh.
Yeah, it was the best. I loved it. Me and Holly had a big chat about it. It was
oh nice. Yeah, you guys got to talk to Holly Randall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's great.
She's awesome. Yeah, she's really rad.
Yeah, we haven't even had her on our podcast. We gotta get the old Holly Randall on.
Do it. Yeah, she's full of stories. Wanted to hear something that blew my fucking mind.
Please. Sure.
Fluffers never were a thing.
Never
existed.
Never existed. Not a job, wasn't no need for them.
It's a gag, right? Essentially, it was like a joke.
They're like,
that people
it's
saw
what we
serious.
Call Viagra. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, well, maybe not, because I did ask, like, are fluffers real? But when she said no, I went, no.
You're so sad. No. You're like, but I've been working on becoming a fluffer my whole life.
I've been trying to pad my resume.
You're like, gotta cross that off the old bucket list.
Yeah.
So when you travel and like get source stories for your podcast, what are your methods? Like, how do you dig in?
Methods are on the table, right?
Yeah, we both do research, like just reading up on stuff, but then we also
use our personal
friends and friends of friends, mm-hmm. and that's really been really cool to just go to other countries and only meet the person for the first time and be like, my friend in America says you're cool or whatever anywhere. So that's been really fun for us.
What's been one of the cultural differences or one of the things that like stand out the most that kind of blew your mind?
This is kind of an interesting juxtaposition, actually. But when we went to Helsinki, we were blown away by how feminist it is. Just it feels different to be over there, and it's so interesting since we were there about a year ago now, and I've read so many articles in the New York Times at wherever all these different places about the things that we experienced over there. But the feminism is so strong, and it's because it's a fairly new country, and Sweden controlled it for a while, Russia controlled it for a while, but just in the last 100 years they got independence.
Where is Helsinki? Where does it
Finland
sit?
Finland. Okay, it's right by Estonia. It's Sweden is to the west, Russia is to the east, and they got crushed. That whole region just got totally crushed in World War II. Mm. And so women were so instrumental in keeping everything together.
Yeah.
And so that really is the foundation of feminism in that country. And then it was interesting for our next big international trip to be Mexico City, because that's such a machismo driven culture.
Right.
That it was so interesting to then.
The vibe is totally different.
We did an episode about masculinity when we were there. And we also got to talk to some really cool kind of gender bending artists and a lesbian performance artist, and yeah, I mean,
I mean, one thing we found to be funny that's like quick is in Helsinki, there's not a lot of PDA. And yeah. Then you go to Mexico City and there's a ton.
People just fucking on the streets.
Well, just like, it's not just young people who'll make out in front of you.
Yeah, right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? People just like...
Sweet.
It's really... It's just... The culture is completely opposite. In Helsinki, people like don't like small talk. It's very quiet anywhere you go, even in bars. It's like, was so weird. We were always the two loudest people anywhere we went, and like, granted, we're pretty loud, but still it was very silent. And then you go to Mexico City and it's music and just sounds and loudness
on
everywhere.
The street. What about the
and the way that people hug is like heart to heart. So it's like this open hug where it's like left side to left side,
right,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the men kiss each other on the cheek and stuff, and I don't know, it's just totally different.
I think some of that is weather related. I know that seems stupid and small, but just being from Minnesota, I was like, oh, these Finnish people make sense to me. It's
I get
cold.
It as a Russian person,
you're
too.
You know, your speech is clipped. You're just trying to keep your just hands in your mittens. Yeah.
Have you guys been to Russia?
Well, it's where I'm from, so
right.
I'm from Ukraine, but yeah, same thing. So I understand it's a cold weather.
Yeah.
Right. We are going to go. Yeah. That's on our list.
Yeah. Russia's interesting. It was one of the weirdest places I've ever been, and I loved every second of it.
Where'd you go?
Moscow. Yeah. I didn't really get to see like anything outside of Moscow, but even just being in Moscow, I was like, whoa, this place is so different. But we had a game where at the end of every day, we would come together and tally and show how many Russians we made smile or laugh that day, and whoever had the most would win. It's fucking challenging, man.
Yeah, I was telling, I was trying to explain to people how weird it is when you first move to America and everyone's always smiling. You're like,
yeah, right.
What the fuck?
What a waste of energy.
Everyone's smiling and strangers will smile at you, and you're like, I don't know you. Everyone's like asking how you are. Yeah. It's just so confusing.
That is because we are a melting pot. I read a great article about this, but the reason that we smile so much is because that's the way that you're like, there's nothing to fear over here.
Right. Yeah, right. I'm safe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not common in my culture, and it's weird. People are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's really alienating. The
Eastern Bloc shit.
Welcome.
Yeah. I know you're going to Tokyo, which I'm fucking excited for you, because it's the one place that I want to go more than anywhere else in the world.
Same.
Is that the one place? Like, is there one place that sticks out where you're like, fuck, I gotta go?
I think for us, this is like a gold star place. We've been wanting to go to Tokyo.
This was the bucket list place, and now, I think it's going to live up to the hype. And then now I really want us to hit every continent. So I would love to go to Antarctica. I mean, I really, really want us to go like in the next 18 months. So fingers crossed.
What's one of the things that you're hoping to kind of dive into and dig into in Japan?
So basically, just everybody knows that there's like shame is an interesting thing in that culture. Mm-hmm. And it's both like makes for things to be really like under wraps, and also for things to be a lot more like outrageously not under wraps. So I think it's going to be fun for us to go and see what that's like, because it's really different from our culture. And we want to go to host clubs and to hostess clubs and to see love hotels and to just check out, you know, all of the
tell
things
them about
we
the
can.
Chocolates. That's a good
oh yeah. So we'll be there right before Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day in Japan is apparently different. And it's women doing stuff for men. And then one of the most hilarious and I think also brutal things that I read is that if for single men, like women will bring into the office just like chocolates for them. And they're called sympathy chocolates.
Oh, no.
Which I think is so sad and funny. But it's shit like that. Sympathy chocolates.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
So crazy, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that for the single man of my life.
Yeah.
I know. It's like they're shading you as they're giving you candy.
Yeah, they're like, here, you sack of shit.
Yeah, it's just such a...
yeah. So funny.
Yeah. I'm excited for you guys. That's going to be really fun.
What's the sexiest city you've been in?
Oh, my God. I think LA is the sexiest city. I don't know. I love Paris. We haven't gone to Paris together. but yeah, I love Paris.
Mexico City's pretty sexy.
Have you been to Montreal?
No, Montreal, I really want to go.
Montreal is sex.
Just don't go now.
Yeah. Wait go till in the summer. Go in the summer.
Yeah. Actually, go in like a go in like early summer.
Fall.
Well, we're gonna do it on the tour when we come to see you guys.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! That'll be part
of it. That's so awesome that we now know someone in Halifax.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And if you ever go to Toronto, let us know, because we could hook you up with a bunch of really sexy people up there.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Montreal too.
Yeah. Montreal too. Yeah. Well, I mean, all of Canada. We own Canada. We're
the prime minister.
Yeah, Harry and Meghan.
Both of you are gonna have to one talk Trudeau. To
yeah, that's right. This has been fucking great. This has been really fun. I'm glad we had a chance to meet and like connect. And also, I knew the question was going to come up about whether or not we have sex. Mm. And
how did you know?
I had a because
of that list, that fucking extensive list of questions you came with.
No, that wasn't even on the
list.
Guess
what? I didn't write them down, but they were up here the whole time.
That's right. And I'm glad it came out in this conversation, because I think this is the perfect time.
You guys have honestly given us so much food for thought, or at least for me. Mm-hmm. And some of the things you've said about each other and about relationships is so beautiful and new also to me. And you guys are a really fucking dope couple.
Yeah, I think Sophie and I are forever fascinated by polyamory, because we're both intrigued, yet it's foreign and like we can't totally wrap our minds around it. So I love when I know people that it's really working for, and mm-hmm. it seems like you're living your best lives, and I'm just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I think the big thing that like I feel like I want people to know is that you can forge the relationship that you want. Like, yes. Like that is fully within your power. The only thing that makes it challenging is that you can't do it alone. Like you need your partner to do it with you. It's a team effort. And when you have a really good, well-trained team, then that gold medal is yours. Like you're definitely going to get it year after year. So it is an option. Like it is an option, and you can do it.
Read all the standard books and
like that shit honestly does help. Like expanding your mind, expanding your vocabulary,
just increasing your exposure to it.
Yeah, it's like a big that is a big part of it. And mm-hmm. and again, if you're coming from a place like where we came from, where that is not a part of your community, that is not a part of your, you know, you don't have friends that engage in that sort of relationship, like the resources are out there. Like you can learn so much.
Where would you
and you can listen to this podcast.
You can listen to this podcast. Right. Yeah. You guys' podcast is incredible. Turn me on for our listeners. Make sure you check it out. And what's a book for polycurious people? If you were like, oh, I would start here, what would you say?
It depends on what you're looking for. Like we started with Sex at Dawn, which is really just like an anthropological book mm-hmm. about like the history of monogamy, which just puts a lot of things in perspective and like sets a good foundation for being like, oh, okay, this is maybe not as like, what's the word you use a lot today? Innate. Maybe this is not like an innate desire to couple up with one person forever.
Did I use that word a lot today?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It's been a long day. And then like More Than Two is like a manual for polyamory, I guess.
Fascinating. More Than Two.
More Than Two is, it's noted. Like, it's a beefy book. It's thick, and it is like an encyclopedia. Like it's a reference book. It's not your book that you like sit down and go, I'm going to read this from like start to finish. It's like,
it's like I'm a little Bible that you like. Yeah. What passage should I read today?
Yeah. Bible.
Oh, but The Ethical Slut, I think, was the next one that we read.
I tried reading that, and I didn't like it.
You know what? It's a voice thing for me. Like her, I was like, it's just a bit aloof, maybe in a way that I was like, I don't. This is too bubblegum for me. But
yeah.
But it was helpful.
Tell our listeners how people can see what you're up to.
Yeah, we are Private Parts Unknown. You can check us out at privatepartsunknown.com or wherever you get podcasts. And excuse me, to the Turn Me On listeners, This is not the last time you're going to hear from us. We're definitely going to make this Canada trip happen. So,
yeah.
And where can people find you, Cokes?
I'm at Courtney Kosak, K-O-C-A-K, Instagram and Twitter.
Yes. And I am at The Sophia, T-H-E-S-O-F-I-Y-A, on Instagram and Twitter. Holler at us.
What are you guys' handles?
At Bridie McLean, B-R-Y-D-E-M-A-C-L-E-A-N.
And at Jeremy Saunders, J-E-R-E-M-I-E-S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S.
And at Turn Me On Podcast.
And at Turn Me On Podcast, yeah. That's it.
Amazing. Yeah. You guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Nice. Foursome.
You did it.
Yeah, that was, yeah, my first thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.